Reading from Matthew 25, verse 21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the glory of the Lord. Hi, listening friends. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And before I talk a little about this verse and the meaning behind it and the hope-filled message that it conveys, let me make a few announcements, Jason, because there's a lot going on with this radio ministry, and I want to alert our listeners to some upcoming events, including this Sunday. You can come out and hear the Singing Men of GNN. We'll be presenting at the Bellflower Community Center. It's at 6:30 this Sunday night, free concert. But there will be a love offering, so come on out and bring a friend or a neighbor or a loved one. And I should say, I think there's three churches sponsoring us, the Bellflower United Methodist Church, the Christian Church there in Bellflower, and St. John's Catholic Church. So I'm kind of excited to reach these people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Singing Men of GNN are all fired up, and we had a great rehearsal Monday night. And so we'll be singing this Sunday, 6:30 at the Bellflower Community Center. And you might say, well, where is Bellflower? Well, get on Route 54 and go north a mile or two, and you can't miss it. It's one of the few buildings there in Bellflower.
I was going to say.
Somebody at rehearsal said it'll be one of the only buildings with a light on at night. So that'll be this Sunday night. So come on out and enjoy an evening with us. Also on June 13th, the Singing Men of GNN will be hosting an evening with Ivan Parker, who's a well-known gospel music artist, singer-songwriter. He's won, I don't know, like 15 Male Vocalists of the Year awards and a number of other recognition in the music industry. He'll be at Parkland College. We'll have more details on how to get tickets and how it's all going to work, but that'll be at 7 p.m. on June 13th at the Parkland College. It's hosted by Great News Radio and the Singing Men of GNN. I think we'll be singing a number of songs with Ivan or providing some backup and maybe opening up the show. So that'll be coming. So get it on your calendar, June 13th. And finally, hopefully on Monday and Tuesday, if you got to tune in, you heard the Moody special in celebration of the King in light of the fact that Easter's around the corner and we'll be coming up on Palm Sunday this Sunday, then Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. Moody has put together some great specials, and so over the next few weeks, you'll hear those on Monday and Tuesday, and we'll see if we'll fit in other specials, but I think you'll be blessed by tuning in and hearing In Celebration of the King. Those 2 days are archived at greatnewsradio.org. Then there's another one called Secrets from the Garden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and what, in fact, the Lord did and suffered and the passion that he exhibited during that time of agony on behalf of each one of us. And then there's a program called Risen Indeed, another Moody special. So over the coming couple weeks, we'll enter into that. And that leads me into my opening comment about, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter thou into the glory of the Lord. And so, Jason, I want to get your thoughts on this. It's a well-known passage, many times shared during memorial services or homegoing services. This was on the front bulletin of Pete Springer's homegoing celebratory service this past Saturday. And it was just one of those times where you reflect on how somebody finishes well, on their life legacy, and then you start kind of regretting, oh, I wish I would have spent a little more time with the individual, and you kind of reflect on, oh, missed opportunities of being there or being with him. And yet then you hear people recount the ways he was used of God in their lives. And so it was a great tribute to the life of Pete Springer. His formal name is Paul Valentine Springer, beloved by all who knew him, but we knew him as Pete. He volunteered with this radio ministry for 15 plus years. I talked a little about it last week, but it was a celebratory service, and just appreciate what he did for this radio ministry for so many years. And he was the one that recruited Daryl Stalter, who just finally finished volunteering a few months back. He volunteered for about 14 years. Mm-hmm. And so we still have Max Norman, who's turning 90 pretty soon. He's one of my longtime remaining volunteers, and he's getting ready to phase out. But thank you, God, for these senior saints that are finishing well and for the legacy that Pete has left and just the power behind that good news message that he knew. And so my question for you, Jason, is, you know, this is a time when Christ is proclaimed, It's not like just a Christmas message. There's that whole message of Palm Sunday where people are receiving him, proclaiming him, excited about him, and yet how quickly they turn. And then that Maundy Thursday, that suffering, his death, what he went through, the betrayal, and then the Resurrection Sunday. But say somebody's maybe tuned in for the first time and they don't know the Christian message. They don't know what it means to be saved. They don't know why it's important to follow and surrender and submit to Jesus. During the season, what are some of the messages that you're going to be delivering? Because there's a host of opportunity, obviously, with Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday.
Well, I'll answer your question, but I want to address the verse that was on the front of Pete's funeral bulletin, because I think it's a great verse, and I think sometimes we miss some of what it's about. We kind of focus on the well done, the good and faithful servant part, and we're excited about that because we love that those are the words that Jesus is giving to somebody who has finished well. But the greater context of that, I would just say this, that as good as that message is, the actual message in context is even better. All that to say, we'll get to that in a minute. For me, this Easter, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to focus the messages that I'm going to give starting on Palm Sunday and then on Easter Sunday around how we get to the cross, how we get to resurrection. I think that sometimes we arrive at Easter focused on Jesus, rightly so. But we miss this understanding that it was God who authored this. It was God who delivered him up. It was God who made this moment possible. Jesus said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. And God the Father did not take this cup from him because God authored this moment. The cross and the resurrection was not God saying, what are we going to do now? I got a good idea. It was God saying, I'm going to do what I was always planning to do, what I always knew I would do, how I would always do this. I've been preparing this people for this moment. And so 1 week we'll do Romans 8. Another week we're going to be in some other places. But really understanding how God did this for his glory. And because this was God's plan for his glory and for our joy, for our good, for our salvation.
From all eternity.
It elevates the wealth of the Son. It elevates the worth of the Son. It elevates who Jesus is even higher. It magnifies that glory even greater. The cross becomes even larger. The resurrection becomes even more powerful because this is not just something that happened on a day a few thousand years ago as God was figuring out how he was going to work out this horrible situation, but instead that God had this plan. He had done this. And in the midst of all that, you and I and all of us were there in God's mind. I mean, God was thinking about every single one of us. When Jesus gets on the cross, and this is something that I've been pondering a lot lately, when Jesus got on the cross, if we understand theologically what happened, he took upon him not only the sin of that moment, not only the sin of the thieves to the right and the left of him, but Jesus took upon himself the sin of everybody, past, present, and future. I mean, so when we think about it in terms like that, the great weight of sin that bared down upon Jesus was huge.
Yeah, the magnitude is unfathomable, actually.
Can you just imagine that God in the flesh looks into the cup in the garden, and this is the cup of wrath. This is the cup of that in the we'll have a Passover meal the Thursday before Easter that everybody's invited to come to. You just have to RSVP for that. But in the Passover meal, we have the cup of Elijah, and the Bible talks about the cup of Elijah, the cup that will be poured out in the time of wrath, the time of God's coming, the time of God's judgment. And so that cup, the cup of Elijah, was what Jesus looked into in the garden. He looked into the cup of wrath, the cup of the wrath of God, all the wrath that God had stored up. I mean, you think about all those tough moments in the Old Testament. You think of all the hard-heartedness. I mean, and that's just what the Bible captures. Doesn't John say that if the Bible gave you everything, there wouldn't be enough place in the earth for all the books and all the things that had happened? And so the Bible gives us these little snapshots, but the hard-heartedness of all people, the wickedness and immorality of all people, all the wrath that was due, all of those things was there present in that cup in such a way that God made flesh sweat blood as he looked inside of it. I mean, and you and I would probably do the same thing. We would probably sweat blood if we could look into the wrath of God, the true wrath of God. Not something we think about too often. You know, we think about the glory of God. We think about the joy of the Lord. I mean, thank God we think about those things. But really, very real is the wrath of God. And so Jesus looked into that cup, and then, unlike all the rest of us, he said, I am willing. if it is your will, I am willing. And God, it was God's will. I mean, it's a very human question that Jesus asked so that he can help to identify with us, so that we can identify with him. But the answer already was yes, God was willing, because God brought him to that moment and continued to carry him through that moment. God sent his angels to minister to him in the garden. God's plan from the beginning was that Jesus would go to the cross, that Jesus would suffer. He spoke about it through the prophets. He spoke about it through all of the Old Testament, through all of history, redemptive history, as he was moving forward to this time. And God had planned all of this, including a resurrection, a glorious resurrection. I was just thinking about it even this morning. You know, in Matthew 28, I believe it's verse 5, it says, come see the place he lay. Look, God didn't roll the stone back on the grave because Jesus needed to get out. I mean, we see later on when Jesus appears in the upper room, walls and locked doors are no problem for Jesus. He's right through the wall. But why did God roll the stone back on there? So that we can come and see the place that he lay. If you've been to Israel, you've gone and seen a probable or possible place where he lay. And it's not about the place, but it's about just the magnitude of what God had done. That he opened the tomb and he wants you to see that it's empty. He wants you to see that Jesus is alive. And I think that if we could understand that, I think we could really wrap our mind around it. In fact, a number of months ago, I have a journal entry in my journal, and I worked it out in our newsletter through the church, where I walked through all the ways that I see that Jesus is alive, and it starts in the church, and it works its way out of the church, but it returns back to the church. And, you know, I think in every line I just said, if Jesus is alive, then generosity is present. If Jesus is alive, then, you know, our desire to boast about the gospel. I mean, if Jesus is alive, it changes everything about how we act and react and live, because he's alive, he's living, he's not somewhere else, somehow he's right here. He's living, he's breathing, he's moving, he's, you know, and so, I mean, resurrection has to change everything. Easter Sunday has to change everything. And I think because of that, we can read that verse that was on the front of Pete Springer's funeral bulletin for his homegoing a little differently. Now, that verse comes out of the parable of the talents that Jesus tells, and that's in Matthew chapter 25. And the story of the parable of the talents is basically this, that there were two servants, and they had doubled their capital. The Lord commends the reward to them both in the same terms. You have two different people, and yet they get exactly the same reward, and in it their capital is doubled. And the point is that each had done the best according to their ability. Not according to anything else, according to their ability, their gifts, the ways that God has. When we talk about ability, too, let's be honest. Your ability is God-given. Your gifts are God-given. They're God-celebrated. God celebrates when you use your gifts and ability to further the kingdom of God. And whether it's your English-speaking skills, whether it's the way you can build things. I mean, I come across people who are carpenters, and they're amazing the ways they can put wood together. I put wood together, and it's crooked no matter what I do. They put wood together, and it's straight, and it comes out beautiful. I have a friend, Bruce Eckhoff, who's been on Facebook building a bell out of wood, and now he's covering the wood with brass to make this beautiful bell thing. I think it's going to be for the top of somebody's gazebo or something. But as I've watched him put it together, I've been just amazed at how beautiful it is. And thinking, you gave me the same pieces of wood, the same everything. It might go in a bell and come out a birdhouse. I mean, it wouldn't look the same. And so just that God has gifted people with talents to do amazing things, but each according to their talent. And so these two people, these two servants in the parable of the talents, whether their talent was greater or less than or different, it doesn't matter. The profitability, when they employed their talent, the profit out of it, what came from it, was actually equal.
Now, this is a different parable than the one where he hides his little treasure.
Right.
And okay, so I know there's a couple of different variations of this.
No, this is the one. So he received one talent, he went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. So this is about, no matter how they do it, the profitability that comes back is the same. But what the key verse is in 21, it says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had the two talents, came forward saying, master, You have delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. And his master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master. See, right there, no matter what happened before, they come before the master, and the master we know being God. And what does God say? It reminds me very much in earlier in Matthew chapter 7, where it talks about the 2 different men
building their house
on sand and building their house on rock. And it says, and the storms came and the wind blew. And it's the exact same thing for both men that they face. Well, here, the reward for, because God doesn't show partiality. God says, well done. Oh, good and faithful servant. Come here. I don't ever want to diminish working for God. I don't ever want to diminish how you use your talents for God. But we need to stop this where we elevate ourselves over and above our brothers who are gifted differently and uniquely and gifted in ways that are absolutely, absolutely beautiful and absolutely wonderful, but absolutely different than maybe, say, we prefer. You know, I've been in rooms where, Nick, I'm a preacher, so I've been in rooms where guys are given messages. And I've thought, that's not the way I would have said it. Hmm. But they've said it beautifully. It's just my preference gets in the way, right? I mean, my preference. How much good food haven't I eaten because I prefer a hamburger? And so sometimes I think we've got to just be careful with that because that's not how the Lord sees it. The Lord sees faithfulness. And so what's interesting about this passage, at least to me, is he says, well done, good and faithful servant. So he denotes that they've been good. He says, well done, and they've been faithful. He says, you've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. By the way, I think that's a test of God. You know, we've had many times, especially in the church, where we've launched something out. We've tried to do something. We had a men's breakfast that I would tell you that fits this example perfectly. We started having a men's breakfast the second and last Saturday of the month. And for the longest time, it was like 5 guys. And there were some conversations where some guys were like, well, you know, should we really keep doing this? Should we really go to the trouble of making breakfast? Or should we, you know, just meet at one of the restaurants and make it so much easier? And I said, no, you know what? I always feel like there's this testing moment in the middle of this. Are we going to be faithful with the little and be okay with it? Because then that's when God delivers more. Mm. And, you know, praise God, that ministry has grown. And, you know, it's always been kind of 15 or so guys there for breakfast now. But there was a period of time where it was just this little, and it was like, oh, gosh, can it be bigger? And if it's not going to be bigger, then maybe we just need to close the door. And God's going, it's not about closing the door, but are you going to be faithful with a little before I give you much? And so because –
and again, this is true of so many different things. It's not necessarily the size. It could be the depth or the insight or the growth that's taken place, which is humongous, even though the numbers are maybe small.
Well, and I think, too, if you're not faithful with a little – you'll never be happy with much because much will always seem like far too little. You'll always struggle with how much is too much, how much is much, how much is enough. And so if you're satisfied and okay with the little, then you'll be satisfied and okay with whatever the increase is over and above that. In fact, you'll celebrate it because you won't feel as though you deserve it. But what he says here that makes me so intrigued is he says, enter into the joy of your master. And so the idea of this whole thing was not to reward the servants per se financially, but it was that because of their service to the master and their faithful service, they would enter into a joy. Now, Jesus talks about this joy. And by the way, one of the verses we could look at here that would tell us about kind of give us some legs for what's happening with these servants is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, which says, for if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. So God is saying it's about what you have, not about what you don't have. It's not about who you aren't. It's about who you are. And see, that's so important when we're talking about the gospel. That's so important when we're talking about Pete Springer's life, because it's not about who Pete wasn't. It's about who Pete is and who Pete was and who Pete was in Christ. And that comes from us knowing who Christ is. You will never know who you are until you – and I'm going to be emphatic here, and there might be some people who will disagree with me. But I believe with all my heart you will never truly know who you are till you know Jesus Christ, because you were made in his image. And so therefore you will never truly know yourself beyond the brokenness, beyond the hurt. You'll never know yourself beyond all this other stuff that culture tries to say about you until you know what the master says about you, the master being Jesus Christ. So it's not about what you have. It's not about what you're not. It's about what you are and what you are in him, because you're his. You are made in his image. And so what he wants you to do by knowing that is to enter into the joy of the Master. And the joy of the Master comes when Jesus preached his famous sermon in John chapter 15 in the upper room. In John chapter 15 in the upper room, he says to his disciples, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Hmm. Jesus says, "I'm telling you these things. The whole crux of what I'm telling you is so that you might draw near to the Father, and through that, you might, my joy might be in you." And let's take a snapshot of Jesus' joy. Jesus' joy still present in the midst of his scourging. Because we see in the midst of that, he still must have had a joy in the Lord, a sustaining power from the Lord. Jesus' joy in the garden, while he even says, "Lord, if this is your will, take it from me." But there was still, look at, there had to be a joy in the Lord because he was seeking after the Lord. When he sits on the cross and he says, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken?" There's still, he's seeking after the Father. Now, you might say in those situations, Jesus wasn't happy. And you were right, Jesus wasn't happy. But joy transcends happiness. Joy points us back to the Lord. Joy points us back to the author of the author of joy, not happiness, but the author of joy. We get joy from God. You can have joy. I've been with people who it's possible to experience deep joy in the midst of cancer, to be receive deep joy in the midst of just painful turmoil in their family. Why? Because Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you." Now, this is Jesus speaking, but I want you to know when you hold your Bible, you're holding the words of Jesus, the Logos, the living word, sharper than a double-edged sword. "These words I give to you." What words? That's why I tell people it's important that you read your Bible, because these words will bring you joy. Now, don't discount the fact that they won't convict you. And the conviction is so that you'll draw closer to the Father and you'll have more joy. Okay? And he says, "These I've spoken to you, that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full." And if God's joy is in you and your joy is full, then let me tell you what. You will go to a funeral service and you'll have a celebration. Mm-hmm. There might be tears and there might be weeping. I am certain that there were tears and weeping at Pete Springer's homegoing celebration. But I have to believe, I didn't attend, but I have to believe that it was propped up by a deep sense of joy. A deep sense of joy, because there was no argument about what Pete wasn't. But instead a celebration about who Pete was and whose Pete was. Because he belonged to Jesus Christ, and therefore he moved into eternity with a deep sense of joy. Full of God's goodness. Can't argue with that.
Listening friend, is there something striking at the core of your heart now? Maybe you have a question, or maybe you need to be affirmed in your faith, or maybe you're wandering on your faith journey, or maybe you have some questions. This is Palm Sunday this Sunday, and we'd recommend you finding a good local Bible-believing church and talk with the pastor about having a relationship with God or growing in your relationship with him. Or there's an 800 number you could even call right now. There's some great folks. It's a free call, and there are some great folks that would love to talk to you about having a relationship with God so that you can be secure in the joy. Not joy just derived from circumstances, but the joy of the Lord, because you are dearly loved and beloved by God. You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM, and these folks will answer any questions you have about your Christian faith, or maybe some uncertainty you have on something you read in the Bible, or maybe you're confused about what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be happy to talk with you. Well, we'll continue our discussion in the book of Acts this Friday as co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo and I will again be in chapter 15 of the book of Acts. So we invite you to return at the same time during the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.